let's get to item 958 and 959 and read those together, please.
958, declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to create a local improvement district to construct street, sidewalk, and stormwater improvements in the Southwest 45th Avenue and California Street Local Improvement District. And 959, amend ordinance to modify the conditions of approval and revise the legal description for the vacation of a portion of Southwest 46th Avenue and a portion of Southwest Florida Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Great. Well, a formidable team is here to present this LID.
Normally, Andrew appears. Yeah. Normally, it's a solitary presentation. Yeah. You're obviously trying to overwhelm us with numbers.
Yeah, reinforcements.
Well, these are my linebackers, you understand.
All right. Well, we're impressed. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and council members. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District. I'm administrator. On my immediate left is Lance Lindahl from the Bureau of Transportation Right-of-Way Section. On his left is Bob Haley from Transportation Development Review. And last but certainly not least, we have Nate DeCara from the Fire Bureau. And we know you have a very busy calendar today, so we will move through this very quickly. Lance is going to explain the first two slides in terms of the original improvement plan with the street vacation that council approved 2.5 years ago and how we're proposing an alternative today.
Yes, as Andrew mentioned, this is a revisitation of a street vacation ordinance that was approved back in February of 2012. The street vacation was proposed by St. Luke Church to help consolidate property for future redevelopment purposes. Due to design difficulties in different design challenges out there on the site, it was found that many of the improvements that were being required as conditions of approval could not be economically or feasibly constructed. This map shows the vacation area along with various improvement areas. Oh, I'm sorry.
You want to talk about the original?
Let's touch upon the original here a little bit more. So in this map, you can see that there's a blue line with hatch marks in it, and that's an environmental protection zone. And it falls right over Southwest 46. And this portion of 46 is proposed from vacation all the way from Vermont down to California. And we're also looking at vacating a portion of Florida Street from 46 going eastward towards the middle of the block towards Southwest 45th Avenue. Also, to help orient you here a little bit, the main church hall is located to the left there on the map. Mm-hmm. And the church has also acquired two residential properties on the other side of 46, as well as a former residential property and a commercial center on Southwest Vermont Street. In terms of meeting the conditions of approval, it was proposed that pedestrian rights be retained within Southwest 46, at least in the short run. And then the long-term plan was to build a improved concrete walkway, which would have been in dedicated right-of-way across the center of the block, and that's the area that's shown in purple. As I mentioned, there's an environmental protection zone there on 46. Even though Southwest Florida Street is not in a protection zone, it does have a number of design challenges. It has steep grades, quite a bit of vegetation, and just kind of general challenges. It's completely impassable currently to pedestrians. Andrew, let's go ahead and go to the next slide. What we're looking at in exchange for trying a different tact here on pedestrian improvements is to construct sidewalk improvements along Southwest 45th Avenue, and this will take the place of having that separate dedicated walkway and also having temporary pedestrian easement rights on Southwest 46th Avenue. There's also planned improvements for sidewalks along Southwest California Street and Southwest Vermont, as well as a bikeway in Southwest 45th, and Andrew will talk to that more here in a little bit.
So I have a question about that. Would the sidewalk improvements on 45th have been required anyway, along with new development?
Yes, they would have been required as a part of new development. However, St. Luke does not own any properties on that frontage, so it would be some undetermined time in the future when that would happen.
So those properties that front on 45th, labeled as Amber, Fonger, and Bears, those are the property owners. Those are not included in the LID and not...
Their properties are included in the LID, but they're not being asked to pay for the improvement.
Okay.
Thank you.
So free is a very good price.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Nate, Anita's going to talk just a little bit about, before you wrap up the street piece of this, he's going to talk a little bit about fire response. If you look at that map there that's up on the screen, you see the two red kind of plus signs way over on the right there. Mm-hmm. Those are the existing fire hydrants that we have on the east side of Southwest 45th Avenue, and Nate's just going to talk a little bit about the Fire Bureau's perspective on this project.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Portland Fire and Rescue, we do support this LID. What it does is, the result, we would have a new fire hydrant installed right there in Southwest 46 in Southwest California. And what that does is it improves the efficiency for firefighting in that immediate area. And also, if we do have an incident on Southwest California west of 45th, it minimizes the need to extend our hoses across a busy street of Southwest 45th.
So the LID includes a new hydrant at 46th in California?
I believe so, yep.
And it also includes upsizing the water main, because right now we can't put a fire hydrant there because the water main is undersized in Southwest California Street.
And that hydrant is required as a condition of the vacation, so it has to be constructed or at least a performance bond put up prior to recording the vacation ordinance.
So just moving on to the next slide here, Lance recapped that what the LID would build is bike lane sidewalk on Southwest 45th Avenue. We also add improved stormwater management. One key thing to just mention is there is a strictly optional element of this LID that the properties on 45th do not currently have sanitary sewer service. If those property owners voluntarily opt into the LID, then we will extend the sanitary sewer south from Vermont Street. So again, I just want to emphasize that all of the LID costs other than the sanitary sewer extension are being paid by St. Luke, and the abutting property owners are not being asked to pay.
Andrew, when's the last time you came before us with 100% support?
Well, I think it was the Vancouver and Cook LID. We've had a few over the years on the east side. I'm glad you asked that question because I'm pretty sure that this is the first 100% petition support LID we've ever had on the west side. And I'm pretty sure that this is the first LID that we've ever had in the Maplewood Neighborhood Association.
And just for those of you who are new to this process, you know, I'm going to embarrass Andrew by just saying he is one of the gems who works for the city, who handles a very complex area of the law, and he has to deal with people who are often faced with the option to fund an improvement, but they have to pay something for it. And no one likes to pay extra for things, me included. So we often get maps where there's little shadings of properties that have opted out or are I guess we call it they file remonstrances or whatever. They're not in accord. So it is unusual to have 100% support, and I think it's a further testimony, Mayor, to the way Andrew approaches this job about working to get consensus, because we'd always prefer to have 100% support. It makes the job easier.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. I've had some wonderful partners on this project as well. This next slide that I'm showing here is the Maplewood Neighborhood Association. So the green streets are paved streets with curbs. The yellow streets are paved streets without curbs. And then there's a few red lines, which are unpaved streets. What I would really call your attention to is those blue lines that you see kind of snaking through the neighborhood. Those are the environmental protection zones. And that's where it is very problematic to put in new street or sidewalk connection. What I particularly want to point out is if you look at the right side of that map and you see that pink circle where the LID is, there are no east-west rights of way currently from Vermont all the way down to Multnomah Boulevard. So I suspect that this will probably be the only east-west connection that we will likely see in the Maplewood neighborhood. Just jumping off to the new slide, Mayor Hales, under your prior leadership on the City Council, you got quite a few sidewalks built in Southwest Portland, particularly along Capitol Highway. And I just kind of wanted to show you where we've landed on this, because under Commissioner Novick's more recent leadership, we've built sidewalks on Vermont between Capitol Highway 35th and down to 45th, where you built the Southwest Community Center. If you look at that solid black line, you can see that we now have a sidewalk connection on at least one side of the street, all the way from Hillsdale and Wilson High School, Hillsdale Town Center, all the way to 45th in Vermont. This LID is a small start on building sidewalk to the west, where we start building sidewalk. We continue the sidewalk from the Maplewood neighborhood into from the Multnomah neighborhood into the Maplewood Neighborhood Association. And if you look at that map, we are poised at some point to eventually close that gap and complete the sidewalk all the way to Olson Road. Well, as we speak right now, Washington County is filling in their last sidewalk gap on Olson Road just south of Raleigh Hills. And when they get done, they're going to have a solid sidewalk connection all the way from Raleigh Hills to Washington Square. So I simply present to you that we are poised to, at some point, finish this connection and have a complete sidewalk connection in southwest Portland. This is kind of a close-up view of the preferred pedestrian connections. You will certainly hear testimony today about the alternative of building sidewalk in Florida Street. PBOT staff really don't support this proposal because we just feel that it's much less problematic to build the sidewalk on California Street and stay far away from the P-zone. If you look at that teal dotted line there, that is the 15-foot right-of-way dedication that St. Luke will be providing as a condition of the street vacation. So it sets us up. It doesn't get us all the way there, but it sets us up for a future connection to that green line you see on the left, which is Southwest 49th Avenue. This is the so-called intersection of 46th and Florida looking east. You can kind of see it looks like a jungle there, and this is frankly why PBOT would rather not do a street improvement here and would prefer that we vacate it. St. Luke is a very welcoming congregation once you get inside, but when you approach the church, you're kind of greeted by a sea of asphalt. So this will look much different when the church rebuilds their facilities. This is what they have in mind to build at the end of Southwest California Street. And then the future PED connection will be kind of to the left where you see those trees in the picture. So it'll be a very pleasant environment. I do want to emphasize that this LID does not actually build that pedestrian connection. It just gets the right-of-way set up. And then here is a slide of what their master plan looks like, and you can see that they have laid out what they plan to do here with their long-term development.
Would the construction of that trail be part of their development agreement? Would it be a requirement of any improvements to the church buildings?
I think I will let Bob Haley answer that. And I'm going to just quickly jump back to slide number 7. And, Bob, you have a few comments about how this fit together.
I guess. As you probably remember from the previous one, which had lots of convolutions to go through, and I think there's still a desire by parts of some of the community to put the pedestrian connection through Florida. Even back in the previous one, our traffic engineers expressed strong safety concerns for a PED connection at Florida without any other improvements. Currently, there's a gravel shoulder that's used quite a bit by the patrons of the community center across the street, and they'll park there and then just, instead of walking down to the intersection with Vermont, cross from between parked cars, which is not a very safe operation. What this one will do is we'll create a continuous sidewalk on California. We can explore with the city traffic engineer to put some sort of protected crossing from California directly over to the opposite side of 45th Avenue to the community center itself. It's a little bit further away from the intersection, which helps because when the light turns green, people tend to speed up. That Florida crossing is fairly close, so this will give a little bit more time and distance. We just feel it's more optimized to have pedestrians cross at an intersection. Plus, I think if we went the route of still requiring a pedestrian connection in Florida and then up the old 46 or the 46 to Vermont, it kind of removes the incentive for St. Luke's to voluntarily provide improvements on Southwest Vermont. So it's one of these, I keep thinking of a Rolling Stones song. You don't always get what you want, but if you try sometime, you might get what you need. So we are definitely, overall, in a big picture, we think this is a really nice balance.
If Novick were here, he would have supplied that by now. but back to Commissioner Fritz's question, which is, how does the future path get implemented? Is it a condition of development, or how does it ultimately go from a line on the map to a real facility?
Well, I think we can through the next, I believe the St. Luke's is coming in with their next phase of conditional use. They're planning in November. And a condition of that approval could also be a waiver to construct that sidewalk or that pathway once we've achieved the next step from the adjoining property owner.
To the west.
To the west.
Yeah.
No, I would actually like it to be that piece to be sure that, their piece gets built with the, concurrently with their development. So is that a condition approval of this? Is it a condition of approval of their conditional use? How do I make sure that that happens?
If I could just jump in, the dedication is a condition of the street vacation, so that does need to happen prior to the vacation. The reason why one of the reasons why we didn't push to have it constructed at this time is that it would be a dead-end walkway ending on private property. There is a road to the west, but that's a private road, so to build it and open it now would promote trespassing.
Well, you know, the map that Mr. Abbey showed us shows that Southwest Portland is riddled with disconnected streets and certainly not very many sidewalks at all. So we're very used to, we being people who live in deep Southwest Portland, very used to coming up to the end of a pathway, often with a barricade that says pathway ends. So I want to, and what has happened is that we get waivers and future development that never happens. So my wish is to find some mechanism to make sure that when the church does its redevelopment, that section of the path actually gets built. So how do I, what needs to happen to make that reality?
Commissioner, I would suggest a phased approach on this. You know, we've worked very hard, as you know, over the past 4 years on the street vacation. One of the concerns that I have is I want to make sure that when we get the right-of-way dedicated, that it's in the right place. And one thing that we will do as part of the LID is to get survey and figure out exactly, for example, where the storm sewer is going. So I would strongly urge the council to let us go ahead and design the LID and sort of inform where the logical place would be for that, as opposed to throwing in another condition that we get right of way, and if we get it in the wrong place, then we're back up in front of you with another street, you know, another street vacation and getting new right of way in a different place. So I think we can research that as part of the design in the construction of the LID. They will be in the door for other building permits, so I don't think this is necessarily the last opportunity to get everything that we need to get.
Well, I heard Mr. Haley say that the easement is part a condition of approval of the LID.
The easement, but not physical construction of the improvements.
Right. So will they be coming back for a conditional use for their building permits?
Yes.
So at that point is where we can...
It would be a condition of building permit approval. I think the concern we still have is we have the right-of-way. If we build the pathway and just stop, we're essentially leading people up to a point where they're either just going to turn around and go back, or they're going to trespass onto another private property's site.
That's the case in multiple instances in Southwest. Even.
Another design concern here with the dedicated walkway is that St. John Fisher Church and School is located to the immediate south, and at some point it's likely that they'll come in for a permit, and it just seems like it would be wasteful to construct something now and then have them come in 2 years, trigger a dedication there, and have to take it out.
All right. Well, let's you flagged the concern. I think hear the rest of the presentation and testimony and then see.
Be assured, Commissioner, that whole issue is very much on our radar screen.
To what you just said, this easement is on St. Luke's property. It's not on St. John's Fisher property.
That's correct. Yeah, we don't have the authority right now to get anything from St. John Fisher.
Right. And there is currently a sidewalk on 49th.
That is correct. And that's our long-term goal here, is to connect to that.
And then, Bob, one other quick thing before we wrap up. You are going to talk about the ADA, the new ADA issues on 46.
Yeah, one of the things that has changed since the original street vacation, which required a north-south connection somewhere around the 46th alignment, was an interpretation from our manager of our PDOT's Public Works, who is the ADA liaison for us. And it is his opinion that pedestrian connections used to meet connectivity standards must meet ADA unless there is an equal or shorter distance facility that meets ADA. So our ability to provide stairways through terrain is no longer an option. So we met on the site in the last winter with our BES engineering staff, PDOT's permit engineering staff, myself, their civil engineers, with the full intention of coming up with a solution to meet the original conditions of approval of the street vacation. They were just trying to move through that process. We spent a good 2 hours out there walking the site extensively in the alignments and trying out different alignments. It's just as you get to that center of the site, even if you're outside of the P zone, it gets into some 10 to 12 to 14% grades. And by the time you construct an ADA facility, since there wasn't one on 45th, you ended up with so many switchbacks that you were using up essentially probably the whole right-of-way, if not even more, to be able to get from the end of California up to, through the north, up to Vermont. It was only after those efforts that the church came up with the idea of voluntarily offering up improvements on 45th to meet that original condition. And through lots of other meetings and weighing the benefits and the costs, it was still determined, I think, on whole that this was a very valuable improvement. Southwest 45th is an arterial street. It is classified as city walkway. It is a city bikeway, and it does lack sidewalks at this. And providing people the opportunity to get a safe passage up to the intersection where there is a signal and then cross over to the community center just seemed, on balance, much more valuable than a switchback pathway in the old 46 right-of-way.
Thank you, Bob. So just to wrap up, this slide you're looking at here is Southwest 45th Avenue. We're not proposing any changes on 45th right now. South of California, although the planned sidewalk improvements do fully build one-third of the connection on 45th between Vermont and Multnomah Boulevard. So this is just a picture that I took here. You can see that there's a woman here in a Volvo station wagon making a very awkward parking maneuver, trying to back into a parking space in front of a TriMet bus. And I might just add that TriMet buses are not something you see very often in Maplewood. Many years ago, they had two bus lines that ran 7 days a week, one until one in the morning. Right now, Maplewood has one bus line with only peak hour service. So sidewalks are very important so that people in Maplewood can use the sidewalks that have been built over the last 20 years to walk to other places where there is transit service. And TriMet, if you approve this resolution today, TriMet was going to speak a little bit more about that on October 15th. And then second to last slide here, this is just the timeline of the street vacation. Mayor Hale, we would really like to pass this to a second reading, not next week, but on October 22nd. We want that to dovetail with the what we anticipate as the timeline for forming the LID. And then here's the LID timeline. If you approve the resolution today, you'll have another opportunity to discuss this with staff on October 15th and take testimony. And then the final approval on the LID and the street vacation amendment would be on October 22nd, which meets the church's desired November 1st timeline so they can get going on their building expansion. I'm going to be passing out three letters of support, one from TriMet, one from the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. And then last but not least, one of the abutting property owners on 45th sent a letter, and I'll pass this out. He says, I believe the improvements in front of my property will be beneficial. The sidewalk will improve pedestrian safety. And as an avid cyclist, I'm in favor of more bike lanes. So I'll pass these out and happy to take any questions after testimony you might have.
Andrew, I just have one question for now, which is you have a picture of St. Luke's and all the impervious surface.
Uh-huh.
Do we know as part of their master plan whether they are going to be replacing that with pervious surface or other technology?
That's an excellent question. I think Chris Hagerman will be speaking, and I think he would be able to answer that question better than I would. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions for our staff team here? Thank you all very much. Let's take public testimony.
We have six people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Claire Carden, Pastor David Knapp, and Jerome Adebono.
Come on up. Good morning. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Do you want to begin? You were called first.
Okay. My name is Claire Carter. I live at 6156 Southwest Nevada Court. It's in the neighborhood that this proposal pertains to. I am the land use coordinator of the Maplewood Neighborhood Association. I'm here on behalf of the association representing the board to testify in support of the proposed LID at the southwest corner of Southwest Vermont and Southwest 45th. The Maplewood Board has reviewed the LID proposal twice over the past 2 months, as well as discussing it at our last general meeting, which was September 10th, last week on Wednesday. St. Luke's Lutheran Church has been very diligent in coordinating with the Neighborhood Association as the church has gone through their master planning process. The formation of the LID supports commitments made during the street vacation process, during which St. Luke's agreed to provide for better pedestrian connectivity in this area. The new proposal will provide sidewalks along one side of the improved section of Southwest California Street and sidewalks in a bike lane along the west side of Southwest 45th between Southwest Vermont and Southwest California. A new stormwater swale for a section of Southwest 45th that currently has no water quality treatment will also be constructed. Although the sidewalk and the bike lane improvements will require removing on-street parking from Southwest 45th between Vermont and California, we think this will provide an overall increase in safety since the Southwest Community Center users currently park on the gravel shoulder and dart across Southwest 45th to the community center without walking to the signal. The sidewalk without parking will also provide a net benefit for the residents along Southwest 45th since they currently have to post signs to allow mail delivery during peak Southwest Community Service use hours. We really commend St. Luke's for their spirit of cooperation, and we look forward to working with them as they grow their service commitment to the Southwest Portland community. Any questions?
Yes, I do have a question regarding the building of the pedestrian connection on the California right-of-way
sure.
axis. And I realize that you can't speak for the Neighborhood Association because this hasn't been thought of, considered, but perhaps before it comes back. Oh, we can't do emergencies today anyway, so it'll come back for second reading. And
okay.
I'm considering asking for a condition to change the condition of approval. Then instead of just requiring the pedestrian connection when the through connection to 49th Avenue is established, which could be never, that part of the pedestrian trail be constructed as part of a conditional use approval for St. Luke's Church. You heard the concern from transportation that would produce a dead-end trail. Wondering about your opinion on that.
We in the Maplewood Neighborhood Association are desperate to get an east-west connection through our neighborhood. The streams that flow through the neighborhood are both a benefit and also a pedestrian barrier. We need bridges to get across them. We don't have any dedicated right-of-way that goes fully from the east to the west. Having this proposal just brought for us, I can't say the board would support this, but I think the board would be very disposed to supporting having that additional trail connection as part of the approval of the development of the St. Luke's master plan when they come for building permits.
Thank you.
Thank you. Pastor, welcome.
Thank you. David Knapp, KNAPP, senior pastor at St. Luke. I've been there for 23 years. Mayor Hales and commissioners, thanks for letting us in the door again. It's been 2 years, I think, when we were here last. I want to let you know that I spoke with a neighbor who's two doors down from the church. His name is Jim. Just last week, I caught him in his garage when he was coming home. And I started to give him all the details that I could about what was happening in the community. He stops me halfway through the conversation. He said, Pastor, I don't need the details. I just whatever you do is fine. I don't need more details. It made me realize that there are neighbors in our community who want more details and some that want less. One of the reasons we're here this morning is to provide you with some details because you desire them. And also my part to talk a little bit about community and connections and partnerships with our neighbors and with our community. So we're a community of 1,300 members with about 500 at worship on every Sunday morning. There were 99 families that came on Labor Day weekend for our community table meal, which we have once a month. We distribute a food box and also provide a meal. I believe it was one of those 99 families that was members of St. Luke. All the others are not from the church, but are from the community. We are the second largest Lutheran church in the state of Oregon. We are the largest Lutheran church in the city of Portland. We are aware that Stevens Creek Crossing has come in just up the hill from us, subsidized housing. As you know, that's now open with 130 families and 280 children. And so we're noticing that especially with the Hayhurst School. So at Hayhurst, we've given some money to help improve their playground as good community members. And we're also noticing it with our Grauer Back to School project. Every August, we open up our doors to give away items to children in the community in need. Backpacks, school supplies, new shoes, new clothes. And we had 397 kids in this past August. We've done it for about 10 years. And we're noticing the influx from Stevens Creek Crossing as well. Last Sunday at church, internally, we had 126 kids in our Sunday school. So that's from age 3 through high school. We're kind of running out of space, which is one of the reasons we're here today. And the other trend we're noticing that besides 32 kids in the high school group, the other end we're noticing we have 36 kids between 0 and 36 months. So we've got a lot of kids coming through, and we want to make sure we can provide space for them and for their families. We continue our work with Neighborhood House and Multnomah Village and other groups in the area. Thank you.
Just a couple questions. We've got a conceptual version of your master plan here, but you have property that's in addition to the master plan that you intend to redevelop at some point, or do I get that right? Or all the property that you have is going to be used for church facilities ultimately? In other words, the impression I got from Andrew's presentation was that you'd purchased a number of lots east of 46th. Those are the lots that you intend to build a multipurpose hall on, right?
Kind of right in the middle of the property is where we build it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons for the purchase of the commercial property on Vermont and the house is to have enough space for that and for possible parking needs. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pastor, my daughter and I visited your church to take the women's strength class about 10 years ago and certainly appreciated your opening up your facilities to the Portland Police Bureau. So my question is, again, related to the right-of-way on the south side of your property. Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. what it is? So I notice on the master plan that would be connecting to the parking lot, you have a parking lot adjacent to that southern border, and wondering if as part of the conditional use permit that you would be willing to construct that part of that pedestrian trail as shown in the picture that we saw.
I don't know the answer to that. So some of the others from our group would know the answer to that.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you have a theological question, I'd be able to. Sorry.
I have a question.
I'm sure I could reframe my question.
Does God support that?
Are you, as part of your master plan, contemplating removing some of the asphalt? And if so, we would like to have an offline conversation about some of the nonprofits that we use that come in, like DPAVE, and turn these into community exercises. A related question would be, are you planning, is there a part of your vision include a community garden or some space to grow healthy food? And if so, we have a couple of city bureaus that partner with all kinds of organizations to make that happen. So really more just planting seeds. It's not germane directly to what we're talking about today. But we did do a project a couple years ago at another church off of Vermont where all the asphalt was removed and a community garden was put in. It was a big community exercise. And I used to have parks. Now I have the Bureau of Environmental Services. So anytime I see a lot of asphalt, my mind is at least thinking, is there a chance to remove some of it? And are we good partners with you about looking at the range of options to turn asphalt into either gardens or bioswales or whatever?
Yeah, thank you. One of the sheets you have there shows green sections, which where the pavement gets torn up and green space gets put in. But to address your question specifically, we We right now have a garden used mostly by members of the congregation behind the Vermont House. And we use that and then ask that members give at least 25% of the produce to our community table meal, which is then distributed to those in the community in need. But we don't have specific plans beyond that.
Food for thought.
Be continued.
Good morning. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioner. My name is Jerome, J-E-O-R-M-E, and my last name is Adibono. I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Jovi Hunu, Claudine Adibono, and four beautiful daughters. They are Gladys, Linda, Nadesh, and Rosalind. And St. Luke has sponsored me to come to the United States 2007. And since that, when I was here, it has helped me for, you know, my legal study and provide me food and shelter. And 2008, you know, I've been trying to bring my family over, but I couldn't. So, and I reached out to them, and the community has stood up and helped me to bring my family over. And since when they was here, they was providing them food, clothes, rental services, all those kind of stuff. And when they came on March, they are late for the school. So, and St. Louis had provided them Sunday school for 7 months before they're going to start the fall school. And it has been great for them, helpful, because English is not our first language. And it has been helpful for my kids. And since every year on August, they have been provided school supplies, shoes, jacket for the winter, food, and my whole family was great to that community, and I cannot even describe how this community been helpful for my whole family and I. And today I just want to take this opportunity to thank them of how they've been helping me and my whole family. And every Sunday, I go to community table for meal. And every August, so we've been distributing clothes and school supplies for my family and for others that even they are not part of the community. That's how the community was grateful for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Adibono, where did you come from?
What?
Which country did you come from?
West Africa, Togo.
Now that you've testified at City Council, you are a true Portlander.
I'm just curious, when you were trying to bring your family to join you, once upon a time we had immigration laws that allowed for family reunification. What was the biggest obstacle that you faced?
When I start, you know, I start asking questions and information. So I called once U.S. Benin, and back in 2008, they don't even know who I am because, you know, they don't know me. And I reached to my pastor, and we have members in our community. They are wonderful people. So they just volunteered to start calling, you know, U.S. Benin, embassy in Benin, and start talking to them who I am.
So and they sponsor, they in effect sponsor.
Yes. So, and for a few months, so they got visa, and everybody just, you know, came here, and it was, you know, I'm blessed. So, yeah.
And nice to have some help getting through the bureaucracy then. Yeah, right?
Yeah, congratulations.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Appreciate you being here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next three are Don Bach, Oscar Villar, and Chris Hagerman.
She did, two versions of the book. One was updated. Can I have the other one, too?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm going to get some slides up there. Okay.
Hi, I'm Don Bach. I live in Hillsdale. I'm a registered professional engineer, just to get that out, because some of the things I'm going to talk about are going to be technical. Nick, I wanted to share something that happened last week with us. My wife and I went to the airport with the mother of a child who was coming from Eritrea. She hadn't, it's emotional for me. She hadn't seen for 13 years. family reunification thing. Our family's been involved with this family for a very long time, and as well as a lot of other refugees. I think we've had 10 or 12 live with us over the years, and we have now a very extended family of people from around the world. Excuse me. I apologize. So anyway, I want to start. I fully support the street improvements. I think that's great. I do think we need to do three things. And first of all, there was a provision in the original motion that was passed that they PBOT meet with Southwest Trails. They did meet with us. However, the intent that I had, and I think that was what Amanda's idea was to work with us. And we were basically told what the decisions were. There was no opportunity beyond just basically bitching rights to actually affect any things that were being done in time to do anything about it. And that wasn't what I had in mind. I don't think that's what others had in mind. I've got three points that I really like you to consider. First of all, retain the Florida right-of-way. There's no reason in my view that I can see that the church should have that vacated. I don't think there's any public interest served in having it vacated. I think there's some public service interest that could be in the future maintained so that we can, in fact, have a use of that right-of-way. It's directly across from the entrance to the Southwest Community Center. And it isn't, contrary to testimony that has been presented, is not insurmountable. It's not all that steep. It would be very easy to construct a soft surface trail through there. I would guess that we could probably do that in about 4 hours with a work crew, because we've done it all over the city and Southwest in that regard. Amanda's helped with work parties. Commissioner Saltzman's helped with work parties. We know how to get these things done, and they're not insurmountable, and a big jumble of blackberries is something you can cut through in a couple of hours. Building a trail in that condition would be very simple. We'd gravel it, and we'd have a pedestrian connection. I see no reason to vacate it. So that's the first thing. Second, the right-of-way, extend the right-of-way that Amanda's been talking about, the trail on the south side of St. Luke's property. Turn that and run 90 degrees, or roughly 90, north to their north boundary as well. And the reason for that is, and if I'm going to see if I can use my mouth. I'm not sure I can run this thing right, but
you're there.
I'm down right here, if you guys can see what I'm talking about. This is the back of their property, as I remember.
Right.
So right here is where we really would need to put a trail across St. John Fisher's property. This is a ball field, and so there wouldn't be any at all. Running across here would not be a wise thing. They wouldn't approve it, and it doesn't make sense. Where we want to be is over here, coming down along the edge of the P zone. Now, this is steep. This is not something we're going to do without stairs. It's not going to be ADA. But on the other hand, I just want to take a little digression here about the ADA part. A year and a half or 2 years ago, Joe Vandeveer, the head of the Disability Commission, Mark Lear, and I and Glenn Bridger took a trip and walked and went around Hillsdale, Maplewood, and Garden Home Road, looking at the alternatives we had to doing full sidewalks. And the idea was we were looking at extended shoulders. Joe said it's not going to be ADA acceptable, but the only place he would be comfortable riding on his wheelchair was on an extended shoulder relative to what we had in gravel or otherwise. Now, that was really refreshing for PBOT because they said, oh, we don't have to worry so much about the ADA stuff. So let's say we build a gravel trail here. Who's going to police this that says, and sue us for putting in something that makes it so much better for 95% of our people rather than, you know, we got to build an ADA. If it's 8.4%, it doesn't make it. There's lots of places in our city that would benefit a lot of people, but we're getting hung up on these rules that no one's going to enforce. And I don't think any of the ADA community, where we're doing it reasonably, and it's where it's not, you know, the middle of a huge thoroughfare, where are we going to be doing it? So I think we get a bit of a straw man being put up here about the ADA that's killing us in all kinds of places unnecessarily. And, you know, we've been permitted as Southwest Trails to move ahead in doing trails, and that they view that as a, quote, exception. Well, that's fine. We'll even volunteer to build this trail. The point is we need to keep the right-of-way. Right-of-way is tough to come by. I view it as a crown jewels. I oppose right-of-way, you know, things. So the third thing for you to consider would be to retain some portion of Southwest 46th right-of-way from Florida to Vermont. That way we'd have a complete loop around the area. Now I want to talk about the impact on Southwest Community Center. The first removal, thing that was done with regard to removing the to vacating Southwest 46th eliminated on a public basis around 20 parking spaces.
Around 25 what?
About 20 parking spaces on Southwest 46th.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got another 14, 15, 16 that will be eliminated on 45th. Significant impact on public available parking. So now at the meeting last night, PBOT said, well, gee, that's Parks' problem. We don't have to worry about Parks. We're only worried about our thing here. They should have put a bigger parking lot in. And I explained there was a little bit of a battle over that, which, Charlie, I'm sure you remember quite well.
That would have gone over very well.
Right. And we didn't put in parking along the 45th on their side of the street. I wasn't involved in that discussion, but, you know, we are where we are. So if in some future date we wanted to be able to use space in St. John Fisher with the right kind of contract, or St. Luke with the right kind of contracts, this connection through Florida would be very key to get there. Now, you've heard testimony that the engineer views this as an unsafe crossing. Just to the north of Southwest Community Center, the paint's not even dry on two pedestrian crossings on Southwest Vermont at Idaho. So we've got basically 9,000 cars a day, 34, 35 mile an hour speed limits at the speeds and 85 percentile speeds at that point. Now, my assessment is that we have fewer cars and we have lower speeds at Southwest Florida. If, on the other hand, you look at the crossing at Southwest California, and you're coming up where the sidewalk would be on the basically the north side of the street, and you're a child, you can't see very far over that hill because we've got a vertical curve, and we're slightly over the top of that curve. And so you've got far less for a child standing in the street, far less safety there than you do down at Florida. And I challenge anyone to take out a little tape measure or whatever and check that out. But there, you know, you're in a vertical curve, and people can't see you, you're a lot more risk. So okay. Anyway.
Don, I've given you some extra time, but I need you to wrap up.
Okay, go ahead.
I didn't understand that last point. It's safer at Florida than where?
Than Southwest California crossing of 45th.
Because of the vertical curve?
The vertical curve. You're basically a little over the top of the hill, and you're looking. If you take the picture, the third from the last picture.
I have been there multiple times.
I'm sure you have.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, you'd want to put in a pedestrian crossing there as well, but that was part of the point. The essence of what I'm really recommending is that you retain the Florida right away, and you extend that dedication north. Now the comment's been made: well, we're going to have a storm sewer. We'll eventually do that. You know, fixing to do it in the future is things that a lot of times don't get done in cities because people change and so on, and people forget about those things, and the institutional memories go away. So, I'd say do it now. If it needs to be changed in the future, so be it.
Don, one comment you made in passing, you referred to straw man issues on compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. I have two very substantial infrastructure bureaus now, water, sewer, stormwater, and this came up in Parks. This is not the right forum to drill down on that, but I would invite you to send some additional comments to council on that question.
I'd be happy to, Nick.
The typical feedback we get is that we are out of compliance with the ADA all over the place. And in fact, we are still doing curb cuts and other things we're required to do. And there's a strong feeling on this council that we want to make those investments so that the city is accessible. But this question comes up a lot, both in terms of what's the applicable standard, and second, does the standard change depending on who does the work? And rather than deal with this in an ad hoc basis, you sort of whet my appetite for looking at this more holistically. And we may not end up agreeing on the back end, but it keeps getting salted into these discussions. And I would actually like to have a clearer understanding of your perspective and of city policy, and then we can have that debate. So at a future time, if you would share your thoughts in some...
I'd be glad to. I'd like to invite, Joe Vandeveer and his crew to talk with us as well, because they're the ones that are at risk here. And, I think they've got a very objective view of the world, and so I think it'd be a great discussion. And I'd like to get Earl Blumenauer involved in that discussion, too. He probably can affect that more than anybody else around here.
All right.
Thank you. Anyway, thank you very much.
Just to be clear, I think there's a distinction between a risk assessment of whether we can be sued, because obviously the ADA is a remedial statute. I mean, and I know that because my father wrote it. So it's designed, it's enforced when people blow the whistle and pursue a remedy. It's different from whether we have adopted the appropriate standard. And my guess is we're more interested in what is the appropriate standard than the risk assessment side, because that's just a question of whether someone's motivated to get us to do the right thing. I'm more interested in knowing what's the right thing and then making that a standard that applies regardless of who's actually doing the work. So,
well, and probably the geography you're going over is a real key component of that, and I'd be very welcome, very happy to participate in that. Thank you.
Good, thank you. Good discussion. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Chris Hagerman. I'm with the Booking Group. Our address is 813 Southwest Alder, Suite 320, zip code is 97205. The Booking Group is the land use planners that have been hired by St. Luke's Lutheran Church to help them with a lot of these fairly complicated processes. As you can see, there's a lot going on here with the street vacation interacting with conditional use reviews and then future building permits. We've been trying to shepherd the church, which is largely, you know, volunteer-driven, through a lot of these complex procedures. And this work has really been greatly aided since we've come to join them by various city staff, in particular from PBOT, Bureau of Development Services, and the Fire Bureau. And they've worked really hard to find solutions that can benefit public safety in a significant way and better integrate the church campus with the surrounding community. I just want to speak to a couple of points that have been raised so far. In terms of stormwater, there are some significant site improvements that are going to accompany the church's new development plan. Their development in the next couple of years is very modest. It's only a couple thousand square feet of building space, but there's fairly significant site improvements to creating some public plazas to better make a public-private kind of interface as you come down Southwest California. There will be, and as a part of that, we'll look at creating some pervious surfaces for pedestrian ways. We'll look at depaving, taking out some paved areas, increasing green space in the parking lot. And we're happy to partner with organizations like DPAVE and other organizations such as Bureau of Environmental Services to make a dramatic improvement in the site conditions there. And, of course, new development and new impervious surfaces will have to meet the stormwater manual, so we'll be working to gain compliance with that. Second, after the improvements, there are a number of improvements which we were signaled by PBOT that would be a part of a future conditional use review. Those include the improvements on Southwest Vermont. There was various additional improvements on California that were going to be part of a conditional use review. They were not part of the initial street vacation ordinance. So the LID that is in front of you today more or less encompasses a full body of improvements that were going to be both the street vacation conditions and the next conditional use review. And those improvements are going to total somewhere, I think the LID budget is over $600,000 at this point. The dedication at the south end of the site runs 400 feet long, is 15 feet wide, and it was seen as an exchange for the east-west connection that was in the original vacation ordinance, which was a very short easement in existing Southwest Florida. So this is a dedication of public right-of-way that is much, much more significant and ultimately can lead to a full connection out to 49th at such time as St. John Fisher's property also develops. On balance, what was in front of you now was seen as a fairly equivalent set of compromises, which actually dramatically improves the public connectivity in the area. And then we continue to be happy to meet with Southwest Trails about improving trail access, particularly across that south end of the site once that's part of public right-of-way. Ultimately, a soft side trail may be the most appropriate connection there, particularly until such time as St. John's Fisher maybe fully develops in a way other than it currently is. So in summary, I'd like to again thank PBOT staff. They've been a wonderful help. In particular, we want to stress that the LID has been a great vehicle for both financing the project and for helping the church meet the conditions of approval for both the street vacation and the conditional uses, and be able to draw on the design expertise and the project management expertise of PBOT has been a wonderful help. So I'd like to thank staff, thank the council, and present myself available to you for any further questions you might have.
So the conditional use application has not yet been submitted?
No, we went up for a pre-application conference in November of last year where those improvements were laid out. So we will be submitting a new conditional use by the first week of November.
Okay. And your concept plan doesn't show any improvements in the to-be-vacated portions of Florida Street or 46th?
There is a discussion at this point of potentially paving the roadway down 46 from Vermont and providing a pedestrian connection from Vermont down to the church. The new plazas will be out in front of the church, so we'll have a continuous pedestrian system that will access the church from Vermont as well as from California.
But that would be private?
That's true.
Would there be any objection to having a pedestrian easement over it?
I wouldn't want to speak for St. Luke's. They have a number of responsibilities to their congregation before agreeing to something like that, but it's certainly something they could entertain.
Well, maybe that's something you could discuss with them mm-hmm. before we come back for a vote. Because then looking at your concept plan, actually building the trail on the southern property boundary would connect it to the parking lot, so it might be good for the parishioners to be able to walk on a pathway, an asphalt pathway, to the California Street if they wanted to park at the church and go to the tennis courts, for example. Mm-hmm. So that I'm going to be proposing a condition of approval, not of the street vacation, but of the revision to modify the conditions of approval, the 959.
Okay.
I actually have more questions for you and for staff now that I unfortunately confused myself further by looking at the aerial photo in my phone. So 49th is currently a paved street, right?
Right.
And both St. John's Fisher and this church parking lot connect to 49th, right, with driveways?
This church parking lot does not connect to 49th.
Yeah.
So my Google map is, or my there is aerial a private photo is incorrect?
There's a private street which runs down from Vermont on the west side of St. Luke's property, and it actually is owned by St. John Fisher to the south, and St. John Fisher has given St. Luke's the opportunity to use it. 49th is the next paved street to the west.
The west. I show a driveway connection from St. Luke's into 49th.
I think you may be misreading it. The 49th is the next street over up to the west of the ball fields.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no driveway access that crosses those ball fields to get to 49th.
Mayor, I think you need
the ball fields, getting to 49th.
You'd have to cross the ball field to get to 49th.
There's a
iPhone 6A. It's a bigger apparently has a bigger screen.
Charlie,
how you read?
Can I help?
Yes, please.
Okay, so 49th is
on the west
side of St. Right. John Fisher's.
It's labeled on my Google Map as 46th, but so it shows 246.
Well, there's a 49th that comes into a cul-de-sac.
Right at St. John Fisher.
No, the next one to the west.
Because I have two 46th avenues.
Yeah.
One so, to the east of the sanctuary and one to the west of the sanctuary.
Yeah, and that 46th is a private drive for the second one is St. John Fisher private entrance.
It is a private
that's
drive.
That's why we want to have that easement across the south, that whole end there.
Is 46th place going to continue to exist?
The one that goes to St. John Fisher, yes.
Yeah. It's a private driveway.
That's the reason we're trying to go across the whole length of St. Luke's property so we can then cross reasonably on the part that they wouldn't want to have, which is close to the P-zone, and that would be steep. But there's one other point that needs to be made here, and that is the east-west connection is in response to the street master plan specifying that there will be an east-west connection. That wasn't mentioned in any testimony, but that's really important. It's a policy issue prior council has adopted. And that's the reason we have that in there. It answers that question.
Yeah, okay.
Mayor, Andrew Abbey, I just wanted to point you to slide number 7 on the left of that green line, which is 49th Avenue. The driveway to which you were referring is that dash black line that goes through the first O in Maplewood there.
Right, 46th place.
Right.
Whatever they're calling it. I would call it an unnamed street, but whatever you want to call it, the driveway is where that dash black line is along the west property line of St. Luke.
But is it not possible that in some future LID or development approval for St. John Fisher that we might require the improvement of that driveway to street standards and the installation of sidewalks, which would be a normal progress of urbanization in a place that doesn't have a street?
It is entirely possible, yes.
And we're not foreclosing that possibility with this LID.
No.
Are we? Okay.
We're setting the stage for it. And, you know, I think that's what we've been grappling with. There's a lot of great possibilities that arise out of the LID. We're not going to get all the way there. But I think we certainly set the table for it.
But if the sidewalk that Commissioner Fritz has been discussing here as a potential condition of approval were built, it would connect to Southwest 46th Place.
Yes.
Yes.